Our guest this hour says we face a retirement crisis in America and blames it largely on a shift from traditional pensions and Social Security to 401ks. We'll discuss how and why this happened and whether anything can be done to help the tens of millions of Americans who are at risk of insufficient resources when they retire. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, May 9th. Do you feel secure with your retirement savings? Does your employer still offer a pension? Or are you investing in a 401k? We'll welcome your questions and experiences for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is James Russell, an authority on retirement policy in the United States, Europe, and Latin America, and author of Social Insecurity, 401ks and the retirement crisis. Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't push the right button. Perfect. Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Good. So I know many Americans saw their retirement savings disappear following the Great Recession, the financial crisis of 2008. What are the chances that another crisis like that could hit again in the future?
Well, I mean, by any experience with this economy, it has a business cycle, so it goes up and down. So inevitably, whatever gains there are now, there will be a decline at some point in the future. Can I predict when? No. I'd be on Wall Street if I could predict when, but that's an inevitability.
Yeah. And you say that each generation of workers since the 19th century has had more retirement security than the previous generation until 1981. What happened in 1981?
Well, 1981 is when the Reagan administration gave the green light to allowing 401ks to be substituted for traditional pensions. 401ks came in 1979, and they were originally intended to just be a little addition to a traditional pension. That is, you would have a savings account on the side that you could save for tax-free for retirement, because that would then complete the three-legged stool of retirement security, so Social Security, a pension, and then savings. But then within 2 years, there was a lot of temptation to just substitute that for the pension. And that's when everything started moving south.
Yeah, well, what was
dramatically?
Why was there that temptation? What was the basis of replacing pensions with 401ks?
Well, I think there are several motives that are in there. One of them is that for certain employers, it made their expenses a little bit more predictable, because they shifted the whole risk of the market from themselves to the employees. And so they could just make a contribution, and then that would be the end of it. For the financial services industry, putting people into 401ks opened up all new opportunities for commissions, for administrative fees, for just a whole series of ways in which additional profits could be made off of retirement savings.
Mm. Well, so what's wrong with investing primarily in 401k plans or plans like it rather than having a pension?
Well, I mean, the very short answer is that it doesn't work. You know, when this started in the early 80s, the promise of it was that people would do better by investing by themselves in the market than getting a traditional pension. But that was all based on very, very optimistic assumptions and modeling. Now we have 30, 35 years later, and we know from actual experience that I'm not even going to say the vast majority. I'm going to say all people who have been moved into a 401k have done dramatically worse than they would have been if they had stayed in a pension plan. In my case, in Connecticut, I was able to actually compare the experience of people who were in a 401k with people who stayed in a pension, because both were offered in the same workplace. And the people in the 401k had less than half the retirement benefits of those who had the traditional pension.
Yeah. And that's even, for instance, a lot of us lost a lot of money in that in the financial meltdown. But haven't we recovered that now?
Well, yes, the market is back up. But you also have to remember it took 5 years to come back up. And so all during that period of time, a lot of what people were able to use to recover was new contributions. And then when the market came up, it brought things back to the level it was in 2008 or so. And so you lost 5 years of time. And, you know, time is really everything in savings. And so, you know, it's an illusion that things have, are fine right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we're talking about the retirement crisis, give us an idea of what we're talking about. Why is this a crisis?
Well, nobody has exact figures. The best figures that I have found are from the Federal Reserve, which does a survey of consumer finance, and that seems to be the best of accounting for what people have in these accounts. And what it shows is that for people who are over 55 and approaching retirement, the average balance is $100,000. Now, $100,000 sounds like a lot of money, but it's not going to go very far in retirement. I think most people who are in 401ks understand that they're supposed to accumulate a certain quantity of money, but they don't understand so well what you're supposed to do with that money when you actually retire. What the financial advisors say is that you should withdraw about 4% a year so that you don't outlive your money, run out of money when you're 84 years old. You're not going to want to try to go look for a job at that point. Well, if you withdraw 4% from $100,000, how much is that? $4,000. That's not going to do you very well, as a retirement income. So that's what the crisis is. I think that good policy should be that people, when they retire, are able to maintain their standard of living the way that they're accustomed to living, and not to go off their own personal fiscal cliff when they stop earning money from their job and have to depend upon retirement income. And that's what the crisis is that now all sorts of people are running into a situation where they simply don't have enough money to maintain their standard of living.
Here's a comment from a listener named John from our Facebook page. Your retirement is your responsibility, not your company's, not the state's, and certainly not the next generation's. What a loaded statement in the title, as if the shift to 401ks is responsible for the fact that defined benefit plans are at best untenable and at worst a bald-faced lie. The shift isn't responsible for a lack of retirement planning, but that people ever believed defined benefits would be sustainable sure is. What's your response to that?
Well, I mean, that's like saying that your health is your responsibility, that health insurance should not be available for people when they have a catastrophe. We depend upon pooling the risks of life, certainly for health insurance. Most of the time you don't need it, but when you do need it, you really do need it, and everybody kind of understands that. In the case of retirement, I think there's a real parallel there. The Social Security system, for example, is based on a pooled risk one of the reasons it can be as generous as it is because when people die early, right after retirement, the money stays in the system, and so it continues to support people who live a long time, or as I like to put it, the short-lived subsidize the long-lived. And so that has been understood since the late 19th century, that you can do a lot better protection of people by pooling risks than just having each person assume their own risk. So, that's what my response would be to that you can get just a lot better retirement system by pooling risks, and that's what defined benefit plans do.
We are talking with James Russell. He is the author of Social Insecurity, 401ks and the Retirement Crisis. And we welcome your questions for him. We welcome your own experiences. Does your employer still offer a traditional pension plan? Has your employer tried to do away with a pension plan? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you feel confident that your retirement savings will last? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with a guest this hour who says that tens of millions of Americans are at risk of not having enough money in their retirement. And he points to the move away from traditional pensions to what he calls shaky 401ks. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We welcome your questions and your reactions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Kathy in Madison. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I read a book a couple of years ago. It was called The Retirement Heist. It was written by a conservative Wall Street Journal writer. I believe her name was Ellen Schultz. And it was really eye-opening about the fact that all the private pensions that were out there were all pretty much fully funded. And some people lost their pensions while they were already retired, some just before they were retired. And it talked about how these corporations saw these huge pots of money there in these pension funds, and they lobbied their legislators to change the rules so that they could grab this pot of money. And those pensions were literally stolen from the workers who earned them as part of a deferred compensation program.
Mm-hmm. Is this a part of this, James Russell?
Yeah, that's a great book. I know it very well. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what's going on right now is that you have in defined pension plans, you have huge pots of money that are around the country that are tempting to all kinds of financial interests. The biggest pot of money is Social Security, which that's why there are calls to privatize it. So in the case of the Schultz book, she was looking at the situation that a lot of these defined benefit plans were actually in very good financial shape and that they were, in fact, overfunded. And so it became a temptation first to start using those funds to pay for something else. A lot of times they were then shifted to pay for health benefits rather than retirement benefits. And then, they also were sometimes used to fund retirement plans for highly paid managers. And so there was a raiding of a lot of the defined benefit funds. And then they could turn around later and say, oh, see, they're not doing very well. Well, they would have been doing much better if they had been left alone to go up and down with the market. One of the things that's happened, since that book was written, is that in 2008, all of the funds took a hit. But at this point, the top 100 private pension funds are at an average 95% funded. Many of them are at 150, 160% funded. The same thing is happening with public employee pension funds. They're all going up. And so to some degree, all of this attack on them as being unsustainable is withering a bit in the press because they're actually doing quite well. Well, they ride up and down with the market. At a point when they're when you have a down market, to say they're unsustainable is really very short-sighted.
I guess in the spirit of full disclosure, I am a State of Wisconsin employee, a University of Wisconsin employee, and we do have a pension system, and Wisconsin's pension system is fully funded. Let's talk a little bit. You mentioned Social Security. Can you explain why attitudes about Social Security have changed over the years, and now there is this, or was this push to privatize it?
Yeah, Social Security is really a very interesting story. In the 1950s, 60s, no one was opposed to Social Security. President Eisenhower, Republican, said that any politician who attacked it would be grossly irresponsible. In the 1970s, for essentially ideological reasons, people like Milton Friedman and some very conservative think tanks tried to figure out how to take Social Security and move it into a private fund. And because right now all of that money goes through government accounts, and what they would like to see is for it to go through Wall Street. But they knew it was an enormously popular program. And so a very conscious plan was made in the 1970s, early 1980s, to start trying to undermine people's confidence in Social Security. And so you've got a whole series of pseudo-reports that said that studies that Social Security was unsustainable. That was one part of the argument, that it was going broke in the long run. And then another part of the argument was that younger workers could do much better than Social Security if they were allowed to just invest their contributions. Well, I've studied this exhaustively, and both of those are wrong. Social Security, is the only major government program with a surplus at this time. You could make Social Security incredibly bountiful if you would simply remove the cap on contributions, because people only contribute the first $113,000 of income, which for most people is certainly all of their income. But for very rich people in this country, they end up paying a very small percentage of their income into Social Security. And then on the other side of it, at this point, the Cato Institute states in its policy book for politicians that, very clearly that young people could do better investing money on their own. And that's stated over and over again, and I think widely believed. I actually tested that, because if you look on your Social Security statement, it tells you how much money you've contributed over the years and how much money you'll get for it. And I had the same thing from a 401k account, and I compared the rates of return, and actually Social Security's was better than the 401k. So we have a lot of misinformation that's out there that has shaken the confidence of a number of people in Social Security, and that was very intentional.
Yeah. We have just a minute or so before a news break. You do have a few proposals on what you recommend we do about Social Security. How would you strengthen and expand Social Security?
Well, I think that's really the ultimate solution to the retirement crisis, is to start moving away from employment-based pensions to, with particular employers to expanding Social Security because it has, number one, it works. Number two, it's fully portable because it's a national program. But that means that the benefits right now, which were never intended to be full benefits for retirement, would have to start being expanded. And there are a number of ways that that could be done. But then, you know, there are certainly a number of interests that benefit from the current system that would heavily oppose that. I mean, in a lot of ways, I think it's parallel to the health insurance, national health insurance, that there are very clear solutions, but there are also interests that benefit from keeping the system as it is right now.
Let me hold you there because we will talk about some of those solutions and who's going to oppose those solutions after we check the latest news. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org as we talk with the author of Social Insecurity about the retirement crisis. So how secure are you with your retirement savings plan? Does your employer still offer a pension, a traditional pension, or are you investing in a 401k? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, May 9th. We are talking with the author of Social Insecurity, 401ks and the Retirement Crisis, James Russell, who says that tens of millions of Americans are at risk of not having enough money in retirement. In part, he says this is because of the move away from traditional pensions to 401ks. We're talking about how this happened and why and what can be done to ensure a safe and comfortable retirement. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question or a reaction, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. James Russell, I wanted to, as we start this second half hour, kind of recap here with John, who writes on Facebook. He says, if you're not putting away at least 10% of your earnings, you're not saving enough. That being said, this is really part of a larger trend toward shifting more and more responsibilities onto the little guy. It used to be pensions. Now you're at the mercy of the 401k mutual funds that they select for you. Talk a little bit about, I don't know, the little guy getting burned in this, John is talking about.
Well, first, his statement about putting away 10%. I had a plan for 30 years that put away 13%, and that wasn't enough. My best calculation is that you would actually have to be putting away something like 25-27%,
wow,
which is really quite impossible. Because the 401ks are just really inefficient vehicles for delivering retirement security. One way to look at it is that if you invest a dollar in a 401k versus a dollar in a traditional pension, the dollar that's in the traditional pension will render much more retirement security than through the 401k, because there are all of these drain offs of commissions, administrative fees, profits, and so forth. And then at the other end of it, once you hit actual retirement, if you are to invest it in an annuity, you get hit with still more fees there. So basically, the 401ks do a very good job of supporting the financial services industry, but not a very good job of supporting retirees. Now, about the statement about it being shifted to the little person, that's absolutely true in the sense that all of the risks of the plans are now, you know, shifted to the person who's in the plan. One of the things that I find really insidious about the whole thing is that when people are in a 401k and they've been assured that they have a retirement plan, and then they get ready to retire and they realize they don't have enough, they're kind of left in this situation of blaming themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, "Oh, I didn't retire. I didn't save enough, or I didn't get a retirement advisor to tell me how I didn't invest it right." Instead of really, you know, the whole system that was rigged against them from the first place, and that's the problem is we've got people all over the country now who are moving into retirement for whom this is a very individual problem and being perceived that way. Whereas, like, if you were to compare with what happened in Detroit, which if you want to, we can, you know, go into that, that when a defined benefit pension was in trouble, people, you know, reacted to it together, had lawyers, had, you know, all of those kinds of things, and were able to fight it in a way rather than just being stuck as individuals and out of luck.
Yeah, lots to talk about. We also have callers who've been waiting, and I wanted to go to George in La Crosse. Hi, George.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me make just quick comments. I was a senior executive for a Fortune 500 company for 38 years, and mid-80s, we switched from our defined pension plan to the 401k. Fortunately, today, that pension plan is still paying me a pension for the 25-year service at that point. The 401k money is running out. There are two problems with the 401k. Number one, majority of employees do not pay in an appropriate amount. They're way short of the maximum. Some employees don't pay anything in because they say their monthly budget doesn't allow it. They want cash now to pay their bills. The second problem with 401ks is that the employee has too many choices, 15 or 20 funds to invest in with no direction. And the majority of funds, if you look at them, mutual funds, for example, are way short of the performance of, say, an index fund, 500 index. So the returns that they're getting is way short of what is needed. So those are the two problems with 401ks. And I shudder at the fact when we talk about privatizing Social Security for those same reasons. The average person does not have the experience or the background to properly invest.
You shudder at that too, but James Russell, what do you think of George's reasons for why the 401k doesn't work?
I totally agree with him. I mean, most people neither have the experience nor the desire to become experts at investing. But I would take it a step further, which is that even for people who like to invest and are very good at it, they don't do as well in a 401k as if that same amount of money had been put in a traditional pension.
I know that your research on this took you to Latin America, and I know that you you say that Chile has a role in our retirement crisis. How so?
Yeah, it's a really interesting story. In 1981, the same year that 401ks took off in the United States, Chile, under a military dictatorship, completely privatized its Social Security system. And that was held up as a model. George W. Bush cited it in 2005 when he attempted a partial privatization of Social Security in the United States. And the World Bank then picked up that model in the 1990s and encouraged a whole series of countries in Latin America, including Argentina and Mexico, quite big countries, to privatize their systems. Also took aim at the Central and Eastern European country, formerly communist countries. And so there was a whole sweeping privatization, largely based on the Chilean model. By 2000, it became increasingly clear that the Chilean model was failing spectacularly. So I went to Chile and interviewed a lot of people there who were involved in it, and they had exactly the same experiences we were having in the United States with 401ks. Because when the Chilean system was privatized, they allowed people who wanted to, who were in the traditional system, to stay in it. So you had two groups of people who you could compare. And the people who stayed in the traditional system were much, much better off than the ones who went in this investment system. Now, there's another connection here, which is really interesting, which is the person who was in charge of the privatization under the dictatorship, José Piñera, after Chile returned to democracy in 1990, he showed up in Washington to head up the Social Security privatization project of the Cato Institute. And he goes far and wide trying to get people to privatize their public pension plans.
Well, don't politicians look at what happened, and especially the loss of money in during the Great Recession, and say, you know what, we can't go that we can't go there.
Well, yes and no. If you look at the Democratic Party in the United States, which is responsible for Social Security in the first place, under the Obama administration, we had an attempt for the first time, to really cut the benefits of it, that is, under a Democrat, with the attempt to reduce the cost of living adjustment. And that's because it seems like the World Bank and others have managed to convince the elites of both the Democratic and the Republican Party that Social Security should have some part of it, if not all of it, moved into private investments. So it really kind of doesn't matter whether Democrats or Republicans are in power, that Social Security is always kind of on the defensive in a way. And I'll have to say also that there's a very impressive coalition of groups that spring forward when that happens to defend Social Security, including beating back the Obama plan to cut the cost of living adjustment.
We are talking with James Russell. He is an authority on retirement policy in the U.S., Europe, and Latin America, and author of the book Social Insecurity, 401ks and the Retirement Crisis. Well, what do you think? Do you think that Social Security should be partially privatized, or do you think that Social Security should be strengthened and expanded? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with James Russell, author of Social Insecurity, 401ks and the Retirement Crisis, and welcoming your questions for him and your views on this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Before we go back to the phones, James Russell, my husband is going to be retiring in 2 weeks. I can't believe it's already only 2 weeks from now. I probably have another 10 years. I'm not sure. But is it too late for us?
Well, I don't know what your husband...
Right. I mean, generally for people. If you're really on the verge of retirement, is there anything we can do about this?
I would say it is too late if you're about to retire. Mm-hmm. But if you are within 5 years of retirement, there might be something that you can do. That's what we did in Connecticut when we discovered that we were basically had in this whole system, is that we fought for reform that allowed us to take our 401k balances and to pay for a regular pension. And, you know, it definitely put us in a much better situation than we had been before. Now, I have to say that that took, you know, like 4 or 5 years of real hard struggle and fighting and got a reform on the statewide level for it to happen. It was a reform that actually benefited the state pension plan as well as benefiting us. So there are things that can be done. I mean, I wrote the book, you know, for two broad purposes. One was to present what is often a very complicated topic in a way that general readers can understand it. And then to talk to people who are at mid-career or beginning to start working on, you know, plans for what they can do, especially if they're trapped in a 401k. And I think there are things that people can do, but they take time to get them done.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have other callers, so let me go to the phones. Roger in Hudson. Hello, Roger.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
My question had to do with I'm going to be retiring soon, and I'm in a 401k, and my financial advisor is suggesting that I roll that money over into an annuity that has a guaranteed lifetime withdrawal benefit. And what he is suggesting that I could stay in the 401k and the income would be based on whatever values are in the 401k, whereas putting it into an annuity with a withdrawal benefit, even though the values fluctuate, the income does not. And I'm just wondering what your opinion of that. It kind of sounds like you almost kind of get the best of both worlds with a product that does what the advisor is suggesting.
Can you comment on that, James Russell?
Sure, I can. I generally avoid kind of investment advice and so forth, but the situation that you're in is you have two choices. Neither one of them are particularly good choices, but you may have no other choices. The annuity, I think, has the slight advantage that you're not going to outlive it, so you can be sure of what you have. The problem is if it's a fixed annuity, that every year as inflation goes up, it'll be worth less and less. So if there's any way to get an annuity where you start out with a lower amount, but it keeps up with the rate of inflation or has a guaranteed increase each year, that's what I would recommend, because you could then adjust to it. Now, that said, annuities are an area that could be greatly reformed to help this crisis. It would be great if you could go to Social Security and purchase an annuity from Social Security that was on a nonprofit basis, because the only annuity you have access to right now is on a profit basis, which means that they're going to take a big, you know, chunk out of there that otherwise could go to you. You know, that's the way I see yours. It's also, you mentioned the state of Wisconsin pension plan that you're in. I'm actually a former Wisconsinite myself. One of the things that state pension plans could do is to start selling annuities to the general public, like to the gentleman who called in, because they could sell them under much better terms for people under nonprofit terms. But of course, that would take, you know, legislation, or it would take something to get that done. But that's one of the partial reforms that I talk about in the book, that, you know, I mean, whatever we do in this country, you know, we have 35 years or so of people who've been in 401ks. So what are we going to do about those people so that when they do retire, that money is worth more than it is right now under the terms of the private market?
Yes, I failed to mention that you went to UW-Madison for grad school. So welcome back to Wisconsin via the radio. And you know, you just touched on it, but Carol wrote on Facebook, Wisconsin's pension, public pension, is an example of a very successful pension. There has been talk of starting a similar program for all Wisconsin citizens. What a great idea, she writes. You're saying that it is a great idea, but maybe not politically feasible?
It depends upon exactly what's meant there. There is a reform that's floating around, which is basically setting up state-based retirement savings plans. I'm not very enthusiastic about that. It might be a slight iota better than the IRAs and 401ks that people have access to now, but I don't think it would significantly do the trick. I think much better would be what I was mentioning, to start selling annuities from the public sector to people who have their 401k balances, because right now that's a kind of bottleneck in this whole system. I mean, this is the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to build up money in a 401k and then, like the gentleman, purchase a life annuity. Yeah, now, the life annuities are very expensive because the private sector takes a big profit on it. If the public sector, which has pension funds, could sell annuities directly from it, somebody like the caller could get a much, much better deal and have much more retirement security. I'm more enthusiastic about that than a number of the plans that, I don't know the specifics of the Wisconsin one, but there's one in Connecticut that's similar to that, which is basically just another retirement savings plan.
Yeah. Well, we have just a minute to go. James Russell, what would you like listeners to take away from this conversation, from your book?
Well, that we've had this disaster in this 35-year experiment in 401ks, and that there are reforms that can be done, but we have to get the political class to really be willing to do those reforms and not to just tell people that they need to save more money. Okay, that's really blaming the victim of this.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
James Russell is the author of Social Insecurity, 401ks, and the Retirement Crisis. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster, to Robin Cherry, to Christy Taylor, and to Bill Martins. They have produced the programs that you heard this week, and thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. Join us next for the Week in Review. We will have two guests from different political perspectives discussing and debating the top news of the week, from the GOP convention that wrapped up last weekend to the latest in the John Doe investigations and court rulings. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.